वेदांत स्वामी के नाम ने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी श्रील प्रभुपाद की प्रीति. आई वॉज थिंकिंग दैट आई हर्ड यू सिंगिंग आफ्टर अबाउट 20 इयर्स. Those days we used to lead a lot of kirtan. No, I think nowadays what happens is I lead the kirtan most of the time. That's why I don't give anybody a chance. So, thank you all very much for coming. Sometimes I wonder how am I going to reciprocate all this love that you're offering. We know that Krishna consciousness is a personal movement. Personal means relationship. And personal means reciprocation, personal exchanges. These exchanges are very, very important. And the spiritual sky is the world of love. The supreme object of love is Krishna, and everyone loves Krishna, and that love for Krishna is reflected on different parts and parcels of Krishna also, in a way. So this constitutes the loving exchange, this constitutes the personal relationship. And that is the function of the heart. Heart in the sense that's the function of the soul. We generally identify it as heart. But when we actually talk of heart, we mean the soul. Because it's the soul is situated in the heart. So whatever the soul does, it seems that heart is doing that. And what does the soul do? Soul loves. That's the function of the soul. And what does the head do? These are the two important centers of the body. The heart and the head. The heart loves, and so the head plans to exploit. Why the head? Because the head is the center of all our nervous system. Is there any doctor here? Maybe the doctor can justify my statements. Anyway, Madan Mohan is a pharmacist. Anyway, so our nervous system, the center of our nervous system is, what is the center of our nervous system? The head, the brain center. And the nerves, what do the nerves do? All the nerves are actually ending on some senses. It may be some nerves are ending in eyes, some nerves are ending in ears, some nerves are ending in nose, some nerves are ending in tongue, and most of the nerves are ending in the skin. And all the, what are the nerves doing? Whatever the senses are experiencing, the nerve is, nerves are transmitting those information or messages into the head. So that means head is the center of the body. So we don't we have two identities, two aspects, the soul and the body. The body is made of matter and the soul is spiritual. So head is the center of all our material aspect. And then we have the soul. Soul is the center of our spiritual. Soul is our spiritual identity. So in this way, we are in this body which is controlled or dominated by the soul. Now although in the material nature, most of the people, practically everybody, is involved with the material aspect of the life, that is physical, bodily aspect of existence. But by Prabhupada's mercy and Krishna's mercy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we got to know about our spiritual identity and the importance of the soul. So in ISKCON, what we are cultivating? We are cultivating our spiritual identity. Whatever we are doing, we are simply trying to develop our spiritual identity. And when we become situated in our spiritual identity, then we consider that to be the perfection of our existence. When we become situated in our spiritual identity, then our existence has become perfectly fulfilled. And that is done by developing our relationship with Krishna. And it is because of our forgetfulness of Krishna that we have become bound by this material nature, and we have become conditioned in our existence in the material nature through this body. We are identifying ourselves with the body. But actually, what is this body? This body is a machine. The body is actually a machine. And a tiny little soul, which is the size of 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair, is controlling this body. And where the soul is situated? The soul is situated in the region of the heart. And from there, the soul is controlling the body. Soul is driving the body. Jantra Ruhani Maya. Maya has given this machine, this body, and the soul is riding in that. If the soul is an expert driver, he drives the machine very nicely. And if the soul doesn't know how to drive, then the soul ends up with all kinds of accidents. And when there is an accident, then what happens? The body gets damaged. The machine gets damaged. So we have to become an expert driver. Now what we have to do? We have to drive the machine. And what is the machine? What is the first lesson that we learn? The first lesson we learn about driving the body is act in a right way and don't act in a wrong way. What are the right actions? The right actions are the actions that have been prescribed in the scriptures. In this respect, Prabhupada gives the example, like when you have when you buy an instrument, then along with the instrument, what comes? Comes an operation manual. What is the operation manual? Operation manual actually teaches you how to use that machine. So similarly, when you got this body, or when you came to the material nature, we got this operation manual. That is how to use this machine, how to drive this machine, how to operate this machine. And of course, this operation manual is not for individual bodies only. It is for the entire universe. Ultimately, this universe also is a machine. And in that machine, who is the driver of the universe? Who is the driver? The driver of the universal machine is Garbhodakshaya Krishna. He is actually driving this machine. He arranged everything for our sake. And what is the purpose of the universe? The purpose of the universe is to fulfill our defective desires. The defective desires are that we wanted to enjoy ourselves. We are having a lot of fun in the spiritual sky with Krishna, but we didn't like that. We wanted to enjoy ourselves. So Krishna said, okay, if you want to enjoy yourself, go try it out. But when he sent us here, he also gave us the operation manual. Okay, you want to enjoy? If you really want to enjoy, like, do this. So that is the, that operation manual is the Vedas. And the Vedas have different sections. The preliminary section of the Vedas is called Karmakanda. What is Karmakanda teaching? Karmakanda is teaching how to enjoy this material nature. You want to enjoy, you came here to enjoy, okay, fine, enjoy. You want to enjoy in so many ways. Sometimes you want to enjoy like a human being, sometimes you want to enjoy like a demigod. Okay, become a demigod. Sometimes you want to become a Brahma. Even by becoming a demigod, you are not satisfied. Because our desires are always to have greater and greater enjoyment. So all the instructions are there in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas to fulfill our desires. Like, what do you want? You want to become a rich man. Okay. Perform these activities that have been prescribed in the Vedas. You'll become very rich. You want to become very learned man. Okay, perform these activities, you'll become very learned. Then just by being a rich man and learned man, you are not happy. You want greater enjoyment. Okay, what do you want? I want to become a king. Okay, Vedas are giving the direction. Do these activities and you'll become a king. You become a king, still you are not happy. When you become a king, you want to become a monarch. So fine, you can become the monarch of the entire earth planet. Still then you are not happy. Then what you want? You want to become... just being the monarch of the earth planet, you are not satisfied. You now want to become the king of the heavenly planet. you want to become Indra. Okay, you become Indra. You become Indra, then also you are not happy. Then you want to become Brahma. So fine, you can become Brahma. So in this way, an intelligent person, after some time, will realize that I am trying to fulfill my desires in so many ways in order to become happy, but still I am not happy. So then, one begins the question, why I am not happy? So this why I'm not happy, how can I become really happy, leads to the Gyanakanda section. And by following the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas, one actually comes to realize Gyanakanda section of the Vedas, one tries to achieve the state of liberation. One wants to become liberated. That is, first one tries to enjoy the material nature, and then he wants to get out of this material nature. Enjoyment in the material nature, when he realizes that there is no enjoyment, then he wants to get out of the material. So this pursuit of trying to get out of the material nature ultimately brings him to the platform of surrendering to Krishna. So that surrender to Krishna brings him to the platform of devotional service. So in this way, the Vedas are giving us informations towards the gradual development of our spiritual elevation. Now, when you look at Srila Prabhupada's teachings, one thing's become very clear, that Prabhupada is not instructing us to gradually elevate from Karmakanda to Gyanakanda to Bhakti. Prabhupada gave us directly this process of Bhakti. And this is the unique gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this very unique process of direct access to devotional service. Otherwise, can you imagine, like Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, following that would take how long? It'll take so many lifetimes, right? Like, so, it will take so long, like, remember the progression? First you wanted to become a rich person, then you wanted to become a king, then you wanted to become a monarch, then you wanted to become the sovereign ruler of the earth planet, then you wanted to become Indra, then you wanted to become Brahma. So after all that, what did you realize? That you don't want any of this. Even though you became Brahma, you got the highest position in the universe, still you are dissatisfied. So, what did you learn? What did you understand at that point? You understood that there is no enjoyment in the material nature. So let's get out of this material nature. And then when you started to follow the Gyanakanda section, it would take so many lifetimes to achieve the perfection of this Gyanakanda practices, which will ultimately lead to Ashtanga Yoga. And through Ashtanga Yoga, you will achieve the perfection of Samadhi. And in Samadhi, you will see the Super Soul in the heart. And then, you will surrender yourself to Him. How long will it take? Long, long time. But how much time do you have? At the most, 100 years. And that also is not guaranteed. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing our condition, gave us a very simple process. The simple process is direct access to pure devotional service, which is Jnana Karmad Anabritam, which is not contaminated by or covered by Jnana and Karma. Jnana Kanda and Karma Kanda instructions of the Vedas. That is the pure devotional service. And in pure devotional service, what is the process? The process is very simple. You don't have to do anything extraneous or troublesome. The pure devotional service is very simple, very easy. What do you have to do in pure devotional service? Just serve Krishna. And how will the service begin? The service will begin with surrender. And is surrender difficult? Surrender means no more struggle. Surrender means just give up. You're fighting with some heavyweight champion. Now, when they fight, what happens? When two persons are fighting, wrestling or boxing, one is trying to defeat the other. And in the process, what happens? They hit them, they beat them, they start to bleed, their body is in it. Body becomes wrecked. And then finally one surrenders. But right at the beginning of the wrestling, if you say surrender, then what will happen? You don't have to struggle. You don't have to struggle to defeat him. You have accepted the defeat. Now when you have an opponent like Krishna, who is actually undefeatable. Like there had been many, many personalities who wanted to defeat him. No one succeeded. There had been individuals who thought that they are greater than Krishna. Like in the material nature, the reality is everyone is thinking that he is greater than Krishna. Some do it knowing Krishna's potency, power, and some do it totally disregarding Krishna. Like those who are disregard Krishna, they are the atheists. They don't accept Krishna. Okay, I don't accept Krishna is there, so I don't accept. Surrender. There is no need to surrender to him. But there are some individuals who recognize that Krishna is very powerful. And still they challenge him. They try to fight with him. Like you know the story of Hiranyakashipu. He realized that this is a very tough opponent. Because his brother Hiranyaksha was extremely powerful. He defeated everyone. Practically. In this planet. In this universe. And still this personality, Hari, killed him. So Hiranyakashipu realized that my brother was as powerful as me, maybe even more powerful, and my brother has been killed by this Hari, so I have to become more powerful. Therefore, to take revenge, he went to Mandar Mountain to perform austerity. And he decided to perform such austerity that he would become immortal. And of course he couldn't become immortal, but he became almost immortal. Almost immortal. But still, he couldn't defeat Hari. Hari came as Narahari and took care of him. Now consider, you think, I mean, consider how powerful Hiranyakashipu was. Compared to Hiranyakashipu, what is your power? How powerful you are. You think you are more powerful than Hiranyakashipu? Then stand on your toe for 5 minutes. I will see. Hiranyakashipu stood on his toes for so many years that his whole body was eaten up by the ants. Still, he did not budge. Still, he did not give up. He kept on standing. No eating, no sleeping. Body is eaten up by these ants. Everything of his body was eaten up by the ants. Still, he did not deviate from his mission. And Brahma came and asked him, what do you want, Hiranyakashipu? And Hiranyakashipu told him that, I want to become immortal. Brahma said, nobody can become immortal. I can't give this boon to anyone because I myself am not immortal. You all know that. Then Hiranyakashipu tried to trick him. But did he? Although he became almost immortal, he couldn't become fully immortal. Krishna came, killed him. Then consider Ravan. He was so powerful that he defeated even the demigods. The only persons who Ravan could not defeat were Bali, Sugriva's brother, Bali, and in this way there were only two or three persons that he could not defeat. But he otherwise defeated everyone. And Ravan, when he was fighting with Ramchandra, Ravan also was given that advice. Ravan went to Bali Maharaj. And Ravan tried to get Bali Maharaj to side with him so that his army would become stronger. His strength, he'll become stronger with his support. Then Bali Maharaj told him that, look, don't fight with him. First of all, your action is immoral. You stole somebody else's wife, so give his wife back to him. Ravan said, look, I have already got into this war. I already got into this struggle and I can't back up now. I have to carry on fighting. Then Bali said, no, look, give up. There is no harm. If you just accept, approach the person and beg forgiveness, I know this person is very generous, he will forgive you. Just offer his wife back and make a treaty with him. So Ravan was adamant and he kept on insisting that he will continue to fight. Then Bali Maharaj told Ravan, look Ravan, you came to me, so I must offer you something as a gift. Because the Vedic culture is when somebody comes to your house, you offer him something as a gift. So I'll offer you something as a gift. But one condition is that you have to carry it yourself. Ravan said, fine. And Ravan was so powerful that he even tilted the Kailash mountain. With his own hand, he lifted Kailash mountain where Lord Shiva resides. And so Bali Maharaj took Ravan to a mountain of gold, a huge mountain of gold. And not only it was a mountain of gold, it was studded with diamonds the size of human beings. 6 feet, 7 feet diameter. And he said, Ravan, you carry it. Ravan couldn't even lift it. And he said, Ravan, do you know what this is? This is the earring of my grandfather Hiranyaksha. It was his earring. And that personality, my grandfather, who was so powerful that his earring also he cannot lift, he was killed by this Ramchandra. So just consider what chance you have to win against him. So give up your fight. Surrender unto him. Still, Ravan did not listen. Now, this is our condition. Although we recognize how powerful Krishna is, but we don't want to surrender unto him. But will it be difficult to surrender? Is surrender ever difficult, especially to a person who is extremely powerful, extremely wealthy, and our supreme well-wisher? Will it ever be difficult to surrender to him? No. Like for a son to surrender unto the father, is it difficult? No. The father is always there to take care of him. So, but it is a naughty child who will go against the father. Especially when the father is so loving, so caring, and so powerful, and so opulent. So we have a father like that, so what's the difficulty in surrendering? So Krishna consciousness is actually teaching us how to surrender to Krishna. Krishna is simply saying, surrender unto me. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. To surrender unto me. And I'll take care of you in all respects. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. Time and time again Krishna is giving that instruction. Surrender. Surrender unto me. And Krishna's representatives are coming and giving us the reminder. Surrender unto Krishna. Surrender unto Krishna. Then everything will be achieved. And surrender, in one hand it's so easy, but the benefit of the surrender is so wonderful. Then we don't have to worry about anything. Because when we surrender, then we have the faith. Krishna will take care. Krishna will take care, and we have to cultivate that mood, that attitude. Our only shelter is Krishna. I have surrendered to Krishna and I depend upon Krishna. And whatever Krishna wants is going to be for my own benefit. I may try to make so many arrangements for myself. In the material nature, so many people might want to make so many arrangements for me, but none of those arrangements are going to be perfect. But the arrangement that Krishna makes, that will be perfect. And we simply have to become his dedicated servants. We have these bodies, yes, we don't deny that we have the body. But this body must be used in the service of Krishna. Surrender means whatever we have, we must engage them in serving Krishna. Use the body in the service of Krishna. Use your mind in the service of Krishna. Use everything in the service of Krishna. After all, who do they originally belong to? Originally, everything belongs to Krishna. Even we ourselves belong to Krishna. So let us use Krishna's property in Krishna's service. That is what we have to understand, and that is what we have to remind each other. we go through various experiences, and through those experiences, these understanding becomes more and more clear. I mentioned to you last time I was here, that how I had some realization about a poor man having a car, a rich man having a car. What is the difference between a poor man's car and a rich man's car? A poor man, he uses the car till the end. Even if it is fallen apart, he wants to use the car. He pushes the car. The car doesn't move. He keeps pushing the car, taking it to the garage. Whereas what does a rich man do? Every year, a new model comes out, and he changes his car. But what does? But our situation is not like that of a rich man or a poor man. Our situation is, we are the chauffeurs of the richest personality. We are driving his car. And he is the richest person. He already has millions of cars. And he has millions of chauffeurs. And for his sake, for his pleasure, we have to drive the car. And what is the car here? Our bodies are that vehicle, the car. So, our attitude should be, whenever he wants, he will change the model. Should he protest at that time? Why do you want to change the model? Why not this one? Does a good chauffeur say that? No, a good chauffeur, he takes care of the master's car and he drives the car very nicely, very carefully for the pleasure of the master. And then when the master wants to change the model, he says, fine. And he knows that one model, a newer model, is going to be better than the older model. If he is a good chauffeur, then his master will give him better and better vehicles to drive. So, we accept the service of the master and use this body in the service of the master. If we can do that properly, then our existence will achieve its perfection. So we have three choices to make. We can become a poor man, we can become a rich man, or we can become the chauffeur of the richest man. So what will be your choice? Right. Let's all become the chauffeurs of the richest personality. And this is a wonderful machine, isn't it? So many wonderful facilities we have, and now that we came across Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we know how to use this machine in the service of Krishna. So let us do that and let us spread this movement very effectively throughout the world, in every town and village. Should I stop now? No? Okay, let's have a little break, the question answer break. Okay?
You mentioned the story of the Ramayana.
Yes, I'm teaching. Yeah.
Of the Ramayana. I remember, is it it's okay to, I remember last time you also mentioned, but never at the cost of not reading Srila Prabhupada, because they're the most important. But so long as we read Prabhupada's books every day, is it okay to read Vaishnava literature like this? Just, you know.
Yeah, sure.
To expand on.
All these literatures are written by our acharyas.
Yeah.
They are the gifts of the acharyas. Sure. But read them in the light of Srila Prabhupada's teaching. That is the safety measure. Because otherwise what may happen is that you may get misled. Otherwise another thing that may happen is you may think that you know better than all the other devotees. You have become a pandit. You know Jiva Goswami Sat Sandarbha, which nobody knows. So you want to display your scholarship. And as a result of that, you may get misled.
So okay, but not.
So always remain safe in the path by sticking to Srila Prabhupada's teaching. Read other books to substantiate and to enhance Srila Prabhupada's teaching. Yes. Can I go ahead?
A lot of the times when, so especially early on, we find sometimes it's the real battle with the mind and the senses to try to understand a lot of these sort of eternal truths that, you know, we may intellectually understand. Does the battle get easier? Does it get easier and easier? Or is it still always hardened up until...
The more you surrender and the more you understand the process, it will become easier and easier.
What do you mean by surrender?
Like, more you accept the authority of supremacy of Krishna and the authority of Krishna's devotees, and submit yourself to their instructions, their teachings, it will become easier. And always try to maintain a humble attitude. That will help. In order to surrender, we have to become humble. Unless we are surrendered, we cannot become. Unless we are humble, we cannot surrender. An arrogant person, a proud person, can never surrender. Therefore, it is, in a way, it is better to be in a handicapped situation. That then it becomes easy to surrender. Of course, anybody can surrender. And many cannot surrender. Like a beggar in the street, he doesn't have anything, still he cannot surrender. A person dying, still he cannot surrender. On the other hand, we have seen in the Vedic culture, even the kings and monarchs, the most powerful individuals.
Where does that humility come from?
The humility comes from recognizing our humble position. Right? And that recognition must be in relation to recognizing Krishna's position. Here, the whole consideration is to surrender to Krishna, not to George Bush or Muhammad Ali. So, this surrender is not to anybody else, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the material nature, everyone is surrendering to somebody or other, thinking that from there, through that surrender, they will derive the ultimate benefit.
So how do we know that at the end of of this journey that we will attain to a devotional service, because I think Prabhupada once said that only a small percentage would end up, you know, attaining to a devotional service. Most
Prabhupada said that, and Prabhupada also said that in ISKCON everyone is a pure devotee. Now you have to take it in the right, with the right understanding. In ISKCON everyone is a pure devotee. Now devotees question Prabhupada, how can I understand that everyone ISKCON is a pure devotee? A new bhakta is a pure devotee. Brahmachari Krishna Das is a pure devotee who joined the other day and who seems to have a lot of problems controlling his senses. But Prabhupada's answer was that he gave the answer in this way, that it's a question of ripe mango and green mango. Like a mango may be green now, but in course of time it will become ripe.
But if we don't become ripe in this lifetime, will we end up in heavenly planets and
so? Yeah, but if you follow the process, that's why a devotee doesn't worry about how long it will take. Devotee's conviction is that I have found the perfect path. And if I pursue this path, if I remain on track, I will reach my destination. How long it will take, I don't know. But as long as I stay on the path, that's what really matters. How long it will take, doesn't matter. It's not a consideration at all. But let's stay on the path, because if I stay on the path, the path is leading to the end goal. So if I stay on the path, someday I will reach the goal. So that is a devotee's consideration. Only a neophyte devotee will think, oh no, I want to become liberated immediately. That's a neophyte stage. But when he becomes advanced, then his mood is Mama Janmani Janmanishwari Bhavatar Bhakti Rahit Kitvi. That life after life I can achieve your pure devotion. Any other question? Yes, Rishi.
What tangible things can we use to identify and analyze how surrendered we are? Because sometimes you can think you're partially surrendered, and then you walk through life and Maya shows you quickly that you're not surrendered at all.
You asked the same question, I think, in Orlando, and I gave you that. You know what my answer was? Look at your bank account and see how much you kept for yourself and how much you have given to Krishna. That is the ultimate barometer, ultimate measuring factor for surrender. And everybody can check that out.
We have an individual relationship with Krishna, so how can we stop ourselves from emulating somebody else's consciousness, maybe somebody you admire or anyone for any reason?
We have an ultimate relationship with Krishna, then how can we become emulated?
We have our own individual relationship with Krishna,
right.
So how can we stop ourselves from emulating somebody else's consciousness?
Yeah, because you have forgotten Krishna. That's why you are not aware of your relationship with Krishna. Rather, you are trying to develop different relationships with individuals around you. Right? And through that relationship, you are trying to enjoy. Or you are trying to situate yourself.
We have a relationship with Krishna that's uniquely individual, and then we see another devotee, let's say, who we admire. Sometimes it's difficult not to copy them, you know, establish your own relationship, but you might just be imitating or imitating
there is no harm, because when you are learning something, when you are learning something, then copying somebody who is an expert will help. Like say, for example, when you are young and you are learning to play some game, what do you do? Don't you like to bend it like Beckham?
I thought I was
going to
be Beckham.
There you are. But why should you become Beckham? You are Krishna Das. You have your individual relationship with Krishna.
How to establish that individual relationship, rather than just unknowingly, sometimes you might just look up to another devotee and take on their nuances or moods or ideas or ways.
No, it is not that. Like say, for example, you see, initially you may try to do something like that, you know, because you are at a, you know, you are at a immature stage. But then as you develop your maturity, then you will develop your individuality along with that. It will happen. But at the beginning there is no harm, you know, imitating or emulating some other more advanced devotees. Then through their actions you learn, you know, how to become a devotee. So, any other question?
You know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rishabhadeva is an incarnation of Krishna, yet he adopts this Paramahamsa wish, like just like a crazy person in the forest and things. And then he dies also in a forest fire. But it was a very unusual incarnation of the Lord, because he gave instructions to his own sons. But I didn't quite get the whole point of his incarnation after reading the first one. But I'm still reading it.
There are different types of incarnations.
Yeah.
There are 6 different types of incarnations. And one of them is a Shaktavesh avatar. And Rishabhdev was the Shaktavesh avatar. Shaktavesh avatar is an individual who is a jiva, but who becomes empowered by the Lord. And being empowered, he acts in a very wonderful way. Why does the Lord empower somebody? Because by empowering, he makes him perform certain acts in such a way that everybody learns. He establishes certain principles. So Rishabhdev in that sense was a avadhuta, that stage that you're talking about. The avadhuta stage is a stage when, due to one's total absorption with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he forgets about his material identity. Therefore, apparently, it appears that he is a madman. His activity is like that of a madman, because he doesn't have any external consciousness. When the whole world is so much caught up with the physical identity, this individual is completely oblivious of his physical identity.
So, where is these categories mentioned then? The actual fact, because different incarnations are mentioned. What is these terminologies? Which scriptures do they come from?
Bhagavatam gives the instructions on this, different types of incarnation.
Oh, okay. So later on, come across.
So, okay, now should we go into further discussion? So we had the question-answer break. Now let's go to another. Does anybody want me to talk on any specific subject? Yes?
Loving relationships and cooperation.
Loving relationship and cooperation.
I was just wondering, as the generations of devotees go on, the direct link to Prabhupada will not be there. The personality like yourself will exist in association with Prabhupada. So how can we keep that very direct link, and Prabhupada is the focus?
Okay, very good. So, okay, now I can actually tie up both these requests into one topic. By the way, those who are sitting there, can they hear me? Sudevi, can you hear me? Huh? Not clearly, huh? Radha Vinod, is there any way to amplify this sound? Please. Is there any way you can amplify?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's do that. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Let's go back from work. Let me get there.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.